This is HDN.
It is Thursday, June the
5th.
Yes, here in the Beaver Bank Bunker with good friend Jamie Bradley, who I haven't seen in about 20 million years. Jamie Bradley,
at least.
Welcome to the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's dark and dank. I love it.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people will know you from Street Sense.
Probably. Yeah, because I was on for a few years.
Mm. One of the original hosts.
Yes, when they were growing up. They watched me.
They watched you grow up, too.
Yeah.
I started old. It's good makeup.
Well, then, when did you start? Well, I got to tell you a little story, first of all. Before I came to Halifax, I started watching Street Sense, which it was brand new, and it said, recorded in Halifax. So I said, this is where I'm going.
The land of milk and honey.
And it became almost, not a joke, per se, but it's like, hey, there's that Street Sense. We finally got to Halifax. There's a little sign that said Improv Workshop at the Casino Theater.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I went down there, and lo and behold, the star of Street Sense gets up on stage. That would be you, and that's where we first met.
Yeah, and then we just asked around, as improvisers do.
You taught for a while, too, because I remember attending the Nova Scotia High School Drama Festival.
Oh, you're kidding.
And you were conducting a workshop on improv, theater sports, actually.
Theater sports. Yeah, I was trained in theater sports.
Mm.
Yeah, and I taught and performed for a lot of years. Across Canada, too.
Yeah. Now, it was theater sports, was that invented in
Nova Calgary?
It was invented in Calgary.
Yep.
But it was wildly popular out here in Halifax.
It was for a while. Well, it goes up and down. Improv is really successful, and then we end up playing for our wives and girlfriends, and then we stop, and then we start up again.
And then you lose your wives and girlfriends.
And have new ones to perform with.
Well, let's go back even further then. Born and raised where?
Here, Halifax.
Okay, so you're from Halifax.
I'm a West End boy.
How did you get the gig at Street Sense?
I heard about the auditions, and I just went in and had audition and callback, and it was down between me and a guy from Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Whom I met later and was bitter about it. But yeah, I don't
Who's
know.
Who's the guy from Vancouver?
Gary Jones. But he was on Stargate Atlantis, so.
Oh.
He had his fame.
So he had his.
Yeah, he's fine.
Good. You don't recognize the name, not like Jamie Bradley.
Oh, well, there. See?
Yeah.
And I'm taller.
But that show had an excellent run.
It did 17 years altogether.
Unbelievable.
I was on 89 to 95.
Oh, now you're going to make us do math.
There you go.
6 years. 5, 2, 3. Hike.
As host, I was on for 5 years. And then they brought another host in as I was being weeded out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we want dirt then. Jonathan Torrance.
Yeah.
He was with you. He's gone on to Jonavision and television, all that.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
You still hang out? You still see each other? No?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Well, then give us some dirt.
None of us do. I don't have any. He was a kid. He was a teenager when we were all together. He was 19.
Long before the J-Rock days.
Well, you know, he's pretty much J-Rock. He has that sort of energy. Or
yes.
He did at the time. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in years and years and years and years.
Now, since Street Sense, between Street Sense and now...
Oh, it's 25 years.
Yes.
quickly in 30 seconds or less, sum up everything that... Well, I know, first of all, that you've done the Grafton Street, the dinner theater thing.
Yeah.
Many, many times.
A long time ago, I was... And then I wrote and directed for about 10 years, I guess.
Dinner theater?
Dinner theater,
yeah.
Over in PEI and Grafton Street Dinner Theater and Yarmouth and blah.
Oh, hanging with you guys was so much fun. Because seriously, you go and do murder mysteries, then you go and do dinner theaters and
yeah,
always
and improv,
in a different place.
I mean, you can't specialize down here, right?
I think, was it
well,
you?
Well, you guys can.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying.
We're still trying to figure out what that means. That's was it you that got me into telling people how to eat lobster properly?
Yeah.
At Pier 20?
Yeah. I used to get hired by special events organizations.
Oh, yes.
And whenever they had a big tour group come in, I would dress up as a fisherman and go and insult people and swear them in.
You must have been so desperate.
Do what you gotta do. Yeah.
Hang on a second. Didn't you do that for a spell?
Well,
I
was
going to
say, you
town?
Must have been so desperate because you got this guy completely born and raised in Alberta to dress as a pirate and tell foreigners how to eat lobster properly.
That's right.
Arr, matey, you grab the claw and I think you just chew into it there.
You grab the bison by the horns. And then you'll whack it with the wheat stalks. And
first, you got to take down your lobster.
With the lasso.
Cut it off at the knees.
You do some writing as well?
I'm working on my second novel. My first novel's in a box.
So how many novels before you actually publish them?
I would like to have one fully complete. That would be nice. Just
one.
So your first one isn't quite finished yet?
It's a first draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, of what? Tell us about it.
It takes place in Halifax in 1942, and it's about this artist for a Canadian comic book company, because during the Second World War, they're Canadian comics, because the American comics weren't allowed in because of the ban that we had on foreign propaganda. and other such things.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't have foreign magazines or foreign... Sugar was difficult to get because you had to import it. Chocolate, anything that was deemed a luxury item.
And comic books was
comic
a luxury
books
item.
Were a luxury item. Not and, for kids.
And so that was really the explosion of the Canadian comic book scene.
Yeah, exactly. It was newspaper editors and owners that said, hey, let's just print.
Because it was a lot easier to do that than to get comic runners coming up, smuggling in the comics.
In a paper bag, yeah.
Oh, that's a great premise for a novel. That sounds great.
So I created this Halifax comic book publishing company called Kingfisher Comics. And the artist thinks he sees Nazis on the streets of Halifax, Nazi sailors.
So if any publishers are listening to the podcast right now, hell of a book idea, and it's already done. It's in a box.
It's in a box. I'm working on the second one.
And what's that about?
1842 Halifax, based on improv characters from Historic Feast Company I used to do with Scott Owen.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one's all fiction?
Yeah, I throw in a bunch of historical stuff just for...
Well, yeah, that first one, that whole comic book thing, that's got Lisa thinking.
Very interesting.
Nice. You like the historical novels.
I do. Yeah. Because you can use it as metaphor for today, right?
And I mean, this area has so much rich history. Why not?
We invented the history, so. Yes. I'm a puppeteer as well. You asked me what else I've been doing.
Yes.
Puppet TV shows.
Well, you know, it's funny because we have Mike Boyd, who listens to the podcast on a regular basis, sent us a clip of something you did, a little puppeteering way back in the day.
Oh, it wasn't Monty and Ashburn.
It was Monty and Ashburn. A lot of Haligonians know you for that, at least know the boys.
That was my second puppet gig and was on the community channel.
Yeah. Channel 10, baby.
Yeah.
God, no, you were funny.
Ashburn, oh, thank you. Yeah. Ashburn's head is in a bag in my basement somewhere, disintegrating as we speak.
Who made it?
I did.
Oh, you make the puppets
Yes, I built puppets.
Well, we saw you puppeteering with Jeremy Webb during his one of his Scrooge runs that he had here.
Yeah, I've done seven productions of
seven
A Christmas
seasons,
Carol.
Yeah.
Seven
now,
seasons.
Is it always the two of you?
For A Christmas Carol? He'll say it's a one-man show.
Yeah.
Well, because he does all the voices and all the characters, and I come out and I wiggle a doll every once in a while. Or I come out on stilts with a big skull head on. So, yeah, it's a two-person show.
Oh, it sure is. But I seem to remember talking to him, saying, well, Jamie Bradley is doing all the puppeteering. And he said, no, not this particular run.
Yeah.
So does he go off and do some with you or without, depending on if you're busy? Or
exactly. What? Depends on if I have a gig or not.
Mm. Okay.
Doing something else. Doing TV. I'll pass up theater for TV, usually.
Yeah. Doing any TV lately? Or
Actually, I just finished a new show for CBC.
Oh, tell.
CBC Kids. It's called You and Me.
Yes.
And it stars Jason Hopley, who's a famous puppeteer out of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He did Nanolan and Big and Small, and I'm one of the puppeteers on his show. He's actually on camera. He wanted a modern-day Mr. Dress-Up. So it's him, and then it's some puppets, and sometimes animation, and just...
Now, when you say you puppeteer, you're talking you do the voice and the puppet? You're not just the puppeteer, like, you know, doing the actions?
No, usually it's puppet.
It's both?
And voice.
Yeah. Now, is this in production now, or you've wrapped and it's just in the can?
It's being edited as we speak. Yeah, we finished in February.
Okay. And any timeline as to when it might be hitting TV screens?
Most likely September.
September? Nice.
Okay, so it's not in a box somewhere. Yeah. This is actually going somewhere.
It is actually going somewhere, yeah. They don't tell the puppeteers usually when it goes on the air.
Well, that's because you're all behind the counter
exactly.
There.
We can't see.
Hey, guys, it's on the air.
I'm laying there on the floor with my arm. You know, the hand is draining of blood.
Seriously, that must be quite a strain on the arms, holding a puppet up that long.
It's a physical job.
It is. Oh, yeah. A very physical job, especially if the puppet has to move, like walk a bit. This is the first show that I was on where the set was actually built on the floor of the studio. Usually they're built about 3 or 4 feet off the ground, so you can crouch and move around a lot easier. But this one, I had to lie flat and be contorted and hide under chairs and tables. And we had something called an ass dolly. Can I say ass?
You sure can.
Can I say dolly?
You sure can.
We had something called an ass dolly.
And you can't say dolly's ass.
So. Oh, boobs. I mean.
Actually, that's the cool thing about the podcast. You can say, you say whatever you want.
It's the internet.
It is the great frontier.
I worship Satan. Okay, there.
An ass dolly.
It's a wooden frame with casters on it. And you sit on it and you scoot yourself along if the puppet has to move.
God, I get uncomfortable just sitting in a theater for 2 hours watching a movie. That must be excruciating.
It was difficult.
Yeah.
I was really out of shape back then.
Well, you're not now.
No.
I've lost a little weight.
Yeah. You're probably in the best shape that I've seen you in a long time.
Oh,
they will. We will. We take a selfie whenever we have somebody in the Beaver Bank Bunker.
That's right.
I've seen right up there on the old website.
Yeah.
JamieandLisa.ca.
So now the reason why we invited you here today.
Because you love me.
Well,
that's right.
There's that. But what have you got against the royal family?
I have nothing against the royal family.
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming.
Good night. Now, that was Jamie Bradley, folks.
It was worth the drive from West End, Halifax.
Okay, but you are the, what is your official title now?
I have two. I am Atlantic Director of Citizens for a Canadian Republic, and I'm the President of the Halifax Chapter of said Republican organization.
Okay.
Nonprofit, nonpartisan.
How did you get involved with that?
I found their website, and they had a blog, and so I started commenting and arguing and whatever, and then they called me, and they wanted some representation out here.
So when did you form your opinion about the royal family and Canada?
It's kind of been evolving, much as Canada's been evolving, over some time, and then I forget when it was where I went, wait a second, this doesn't make sense anymore.
Okay, what doesn't make sense?
Oh, having a foreign-born queen as our head of state. Or a foreign-born monarch as our head of state.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out why we couldn't have a Canadian as our head of state. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a Canadian as our head of state. As part of the evolution of Canada, right from 1867, we've had these bursts of independence.
Right.
Slow, because we're Canadians, and we go, it's fine.
We'll change it now.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of Canadians are really proud of their British ancestry. I mean, you know, we were the people that came up here because the United States were having their little war, and we backed Britain on that. Right?
Yeah, for some, my people came over because they were tossed out of Ireland and Scotland by the British.
Okay, so you're holding a grudge. Then tell me, you're like,
so this is what it comes down to.
I don't know what the statistics are, but I know that the British descended people are in the minority now.
That's true.
But the monarchy will always be part of our history and always be part of our culture.
So officially dropping the monarchy, how do you propose to do this? Because, I mean, right now we have, the Governor General representing the Queen. Would we still have a Governor General?
Sure. We can if we want. We're Canadians. We can decide whatever we want. The easiest thing is to...
Anarchy.
Anarchy, the Canadian way. I'm really angry, and now I'm not angry anymore. What are you going to do? The easiest thing is just when the Queen ends her reign, out of respect for her, let her finish her reign, whether she abdicates, retires, or passes away. We just don't declare the next British monarch as our head of state, and we just declare whoever is in the office of the Governor General is our head of state, because really the Governor General's doing it all.
Well, yes,
and that's
definitely.
When they send troops to Canada and take us over. You saw what happened to the Falkland Islands. Oh. Come on.
Yeah, but they really wanted the Falkland Islands.
Yeah, exactly.
They just like to vacation here in the summer and have it all paid for.
Well, is it paid for by us?
Yeah, and not just the Queen. I mean, we can understand that the Queen is our head of state.
Yeah.
But we just entertained her son and his wife for the tune of probably $1 million. We also entertained her grandson and his wife for their honeymoon for probably the tune of $1 million. And then they went down to the U.S. on our dime, and then they started promoting the British film industry. They don't represent us internationally at all. She's only our queen when she's here on Canadian soil. When she's in Australia, she's the Australian queen. New Zealand queen, and so on and so forth.
Okay, so losing her will benefit us how? Or losing the royal family anyway.
Oh, it would pretty much complete our evolution from a colony. Matter of national pride. I mean, if it didn't matter, we'd still have the red ensign, right? But the Canadian flag is our ultimate symbol right now. You go anywhere and see the Canadian flag, it evokes an emotion.
Sure.
In Canadians and other people. Mm. Red ensign does for older people because it had their history. But now we have this. And
so it's closure, basically, that you're wanting.
Let's finish the country because we're still really kind of a colony.
Yeah.
We've been a work in progress for far too long.
Exactly.
Okay, well,
let's finish it.
What about the Commonwealth Games then?
Because what about them?
We're really good at the Commonwealth Games, whereas the Olympics, not so much with all the other countries involved there. I like dominating.
Why can't we participate in the Commonwealth Games?
Would we still be a member of the Commonwealth?
Sure, why not?
Well, isn't the Commonwealth built on British subjects?
Not since 1949. There are about 54 member nations of the Commonwealth of Nations. And out of those, only 16 are Commonwealth realms where the Queen is head of state.
And all the rest were at one time, and then they've all separated?
No, nope, not all of them.
Through ticket sales and through just freebies that were given to the band, we probably paid more for the Rolling Stones touring our country than the royal family.
And more people showed up to see them.
Well, then let's make Mick Jagger our head of state.
Oh, sure. No.
Got to teach the Queen how to sing a few songs. That's what we got.
But we don't have to give up a lot.
The Queen is officially Canadian as well, is she not? Doesn't she carry passports for all the Commonwealth or all the subject nations that are under the British?
She's not a citizen. She's not a citizen of England. She's not a legal citizen.
So you're saying the Queen is an alien. Okay, this is good. This is internet stuff here.
The big hair hides the antennae.
So what kind of support are you guys getting at this point?
In the last poll, which was July 23rd, 2013. Prince Charles should become Canada's head of state upon the death of the current queen? Mm. 33% agree, 53% disagree, 14% don't know. Canada's head of state should be a Canadian resident in Canada? 53% agree, 33% disagree, and 14% don't know. Generally speaking, if you ask people if they think that a Canadian resident should be head of state, they usually say yes.
Okay, so if somebody is like-minded, wants the royal family out of there.
Mm-hmm. Out of where?
Out of here.
Out of our constitution?
Out of, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you're wanting.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to join you, what do they do? Where do they go?
Well, they can visit our website, canadian-republic.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is there, and they can email me if they're interested.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your
we're also
next?
On Facebook.
What's your, Facebook? Where do they find you there?
CCR. Citizens for a Canadian Republic.
Our Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, that's the cool part. We're not
you
messing
stole
around.
That from there?
We are not messing around.
You just put CCR in your posters and you'll get swarms of people.
There's John Fogerty going, hey, oh, missed out on that one. This is a really neat idea because honestly, the only argument I had against what you're saying right now is why change things? If it's working out okay. You know, it's, and seriously, like, what harm do they do? That was my point of view.
Well, they're often seen as, or they're talked about by many monarchists as being a symbol of unity for Canada. Are we really
not
united?
In Quebec?
Exactly, we're not united as long as we have a British person as our head of state. It's always going to be held over the heads of the Quebecois, and not that. Becoming a republic and getting a Canadian as head of state will heal all those
long ago
wounds.
No.
But I think it's another step closer.
Yes.
Well, I also feel that Canadians like their individuality when it comes to, was it Trudeau that said we're a mouse sleeping beside an elephant?
I mean, the U.S.?
Yeah, the U.S. Mm-hmm. is there, and we are becoming absorbed by the United States culture. So people hang on. We spell color with a U. We hang on to these things that are British so that we can be different from the United States.
But don't you think that being Canadian should make us different from the United States? I know we've always been in between the US and Britain, always, and France to a certain extent. But why do we have to choose one empire over another empire when we can have our own country and our own institutions fully
so you don't
fully
think
to
if,
ourselves?
You honestly don't think if we drop the monarchy that we're not going to instantly become the 51st state of the United States?
Day to day, week to week, month to month, what is going to change for the average Canadian? What impact does the British monarch as our head of state have on the average Canadian? Nothing.
No.
Tim Hortons is more popular than Queen Elizabeth II.
More Canadian than Queen Elizabeth.
Exactly. Think of everything that's Canadian.
Yeah.
You think of the Queen? No.
But everything that's Canadian is kind of moving down. You can get Tim Hortons in the States now. You can get all this stuff. But the royal family is something that we have that they're never going to have. And they want. When Kate and William, they come to town, it's like, you know, they throw a big party. But they don't have them. You know, there are royals.
No, Australia has them, and the UK has them, and New Zealand has them.
But we're not right beside them, though. That's the thing. It's the United States.
We need to stand up on our own. So far, we're still
not.
I
don't want to.
It's not scary. We've proven that we can be Canadian. We've proven that we can be proud of Canada. Sure, we bring it out every July 1st, or when we're playing in the Olympics, you know, winning gold in hockey, and any other time where these special events, we have that little swell of pride, or when there's a beer commercial that shows icons of Canada, that still gets me weepy.
William Shatner.
And William Shatner.
The next Governor General.
Sure.
I'd vote for him. I'd have, wasn't he up for Governor General? Like, wasn't there a petition last time around when they were getting a new governor, when we were getting a new governor general?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think there was an online petition wanting William Shatner to be our governor.
I don't think
general.
He'd move here, though. I think he likes his ranch too much.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of land in Alberta.
Yeah.
Well, you gave us a lot to think about, Jamie, and I know that that people are going to tell you what. Go to jamieandlisa.ca and,
Our Facebook page, the Halifax Daily News.
And talk about it. We just want Canadians to talk about it.
Exactly.
Jamie Bradley, thank you for joining us in the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Thank you, my friends, Jamie and Lisa. It's been fantastic. I can't wait to get a breath of air.
We're back again tomorrow, people, and I do believe Constable Donnie Jenkins is going to be joining us. So.
Excellent. Until then.